Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is JNYGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At last week's City Council meeting on Tuesday, June 3rd, Council reviewed a report outlining the relevant changes proposed through controversial Provincial Bills 5 and 17 and their anticipated impacts on Kingston. Both construction-focused bills officially made their way through Queen's Park last week. Bill 5, the Protect Ontario by Unleashing Our Economy Act, proposes amendments to several pieces of legislation, including the Ontario Heritage Act and a repeal of the Endangered Species Act. Council already voted unanimously to oppose Bill 5 in their May 23rd meeting, with the concern that waiting for this information report from staff would not leave enough time for MPs and relevant parties to receive the motion and take action. Chief concerns revolved around environmental impact, special economic zones that would supersede the municipality's planning power in selected areas, and opposition from Indigenous communities. Bill 17, Protect Ontario by Building Faster and Smarter Act, was put forward with the objective of speeding up the construction of new homes and infrastructure and proposes changes to streamline development approvals. This includes changes to the Building Code Act, Development Charges Act, and the Planning Act, among other legislation. The 16-page report from city staff outlined some of the key changes that will impact the city. Bill 17 will allow developers a longer timeframe to pay development charges, DCs, which are used by the city to fund other infrastructure-related projects. The changes surrounding DCs may cause cash flow issues, according to the report, leading to additional financing costs for capital projects, increased administrative costs, and delays in capital project timing. Bill 17 would also give the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing the authority to decide which studies can be included in a complete building application, meaning municipalities could no longer require information like sun-shadow studies, wind studies, urban design studies, and lighting studies. According to the report, these assessments are often essential for evaluating whether a proposed development is compatible with the proposed area. While the report attempts to provide a detailed overview of the potential impacts on Kingston, the city's chief administrative officer, Lainey Hurdle, in responding to questions from council, acknowledged that the full implications of the legislation remain uncertain.
The current bill, there are no direct financial implications. There is strictly a delay in terms of when the payments have to be made, as well as I believe there might be an impact on interest. We expect, though, that there may be implications in the future, because when you look at the bill, there are still some elements that are to come forward at a later time. I think it will require more investigation in terms of what exactly this will look like. So I appreciate that the bill, Bill 17, has actually received approval, but there are still, I think, a number of things that need to come through in terms of regulations.
Councillor Connie Glenn summed up the bulk of concerns expressed by council members regarding the future impact of Bills 5 and 17 on the city's plans.
My take on it then is that it puts all of this significantly at risk, because instead of those mechanisms being more secure, we are being placed again in, and I think the best wording that described our relationship to the other levels of government was said at FCM this past weekend, that we are treated as a child. Unfortunately, I think we're going to find ourselves in a very awkward situation trying to balance these things, and that unfortunately it's not going to have the intended impact of really speeding building.
Really, I just didn't want to keep going around and around in circles on this issue. So I'm just looking for more.
That's out of order.
That's out of order. That's a dad joke. I have 5 kids.
That was Councillor Ryan Boehm speaking at Tuesday night's council meeting as he introduced a motion seeking more information about how the city decides when and where to build roundabouts. Last month, council approved the first major roundabout in Councillor Boehm's district in Kingston's East End to be built at a cost of $3 million. That decision came in place of installing traffic signals, which would have cost $1 million. Now, Councillor Boehm is asking for a deeper look into whether more roundabouts could be feasible around the city. His motion notes that roundabouts are becoming increasingly common in other municipalities as an alternative to traffic signals.
They offer several potential benefits, including improved traffic flow, reduced emissions, slower vehicle speeds, and fewer severe collisions, contributing to both safety and sustainability goals. However, the motion also acknowledges challenges. Roundabouts require more space than traditional intersections, which can impact construction costs, property acquisition, and the surrounding area. With unanimous support from council, city staff have now been directed to prepare a report by early 2026, detailing the city's traffic control policies and outlining how roundabouts are evaluated for new and reconstructed intersections.
Short story long. Essentially, this is just looking for more information. Roundabouts definitely do have their place. We don't seem to be building a lot of them. So it was just in a conversation with staff of like to try to figure out like where that holdup may be. Is it a planning thing? Is it a money thing? Basically, it's more just trying to get more information. It does sound like going forward, we're probably going to start to see more of them in appropriate places. But this was more just to try to sort of understand from top, from beginning to end, how that whole evaluation process works. Obviously we see them popping up in many places around us, but kind of want to understand how and when and why, and hopefully we will see more of them being built here. So that's as simple as it is. It's just looking for more information on that.
For CFRC News, this has been Christina Laurie, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, June 9th, daytime high of 19 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation throughout the day. That 70% chance of rain stays consistent overnight as the temperature drops to a low of 15. Tuesday, June 10th, daytime high of 20 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud and a 40% chance of precipitation throughout the day. It's going to be a clear, beautiful night, dropping down to 13. Wednesday, June 11th, daytime high of 22 degrees and a low possibility of rainy weather in the forecast, just a 30% chance of precipitation dropping down to 16 overnight. Thursday, June 12th, a daytime high of 22 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud dropping down to 11 overnight. Moving towards Father's Day weekend, Friday, June 13th, daytime high of 21 degrees, a mix of sun and cloud going back down to 11 overnight. Saturday, June 14th, a high of 19 with cloudy conditions. Sunday, June 15th, staying consistent in that 18 to 20 degree range with a 40% chance of precipitation. Monday, June 16th, going to be a beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 22, and it's going to be beautiful and sunny. Tuesday, June 15th, more sunny weather in the forecast. Daytime high of 23 with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians to allow for the temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel during the following periods. For the summer, the dates of closure are June 8th, June 15th, June 22nd, June 29th, July 1st, 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, and September 7th. It will be closed 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on each of those summer dates. The fall closure dates are September 21st, October 5th, 14th, and 19th, and November 2nd and 16th, and the causeway will be closed from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on those dates. Now for this week's relevant road closures. Albert Street, Princess to Mac, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson, is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Earl, is closed until June 11th for paving operations. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple, is closed until June 20th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Lakeshore Boulevard, front to Joreen, closed until June 13th to rehabilitate the existing sanitary system. Pine Street Division 2 Cherry closed June 9th from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. for sewer relining. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria, closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett, is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Wortman Avenue, Lakeshore to Lakeland Point, is closed until June 13th to rehabilitate the existing sanitary system.
Now let's take a look at some community events happening around town this week. On Wednesday, Kingston Pride and drag artist Bewitched are hosting a drag makeup workshop at the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library from 4 to 7 p.m., open to anyone 14 and up. Just remember to bring your own makeup as supplies won't be provided. On Thursday, start the day with Stories in the Square at Springer Market Square from 10:30 to 11 a.m. Hosted by the Public Library, this free event features stories, songs, and sunshine. That evening, Art Noise is running Life Drawing from 6 to 8 p.m. with a live male model, and the drop-in cost is just $10. Over at Domino Theater, the dark comedic play Decrepitude Blues starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets range from $10 to $20 and are available at the door. Folks, this show will be running until June 21st. Then from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., head to Hotel Wolf Island for a special night of storytelling with Dave Pomfret and Martin Verrill. This event is free and celebrates the launch of Pomfret's debut novel, Lily. On Friday, join QLab Community for Craft Jam at BSC Skate Shop and Coffee Bar from 6 to 9 p.m. For $8, you'll get paint supplies and access to a cozy art night on the patio, plus drinks and mac and cheese. And if you're in the mood for singing, karaoke runs from 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. at the Buckle. On Saturday, get excited for some great Pride events. The Kingston Pride Community Fair runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Confederation Park, featuring local artisans, community groups, and live performances. The Pride Parade kicks off at noon from the Memorial Center and it winds its way downtown. Then at night, an evening of Pride lights up Confederation Park from 7 to 10 p.m. with a drag show featuring Perla from Canada's Drag Race and a stacked local lineup. Also on Saturday, YGK Craft Beer Fest returns to Fort Henry from 12 to 8 p.m. and general admission is $20. The Kings Court Street Festival runs from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. with a neighborhood parade, barbecue, and live jazz. Island Talks runs at Hotel Wolf Island from 11:15 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. with author Sarah Selecki. Or folks can catch Sapphic Delights at Something in the Water from 8 to midnight with drag, games, and dancing. Tickets are $20 in advance or $25 at the door. At 10 p.m., Time Out Bar and Bistro hosts a free 19-plus drag show with Becca Blake, Tiffany Morgan, and Dixie Landers. And finally, the Forever Gala in celebration of Kingston's Animal Rescue's 15th anniversary. It's happening at the Isabel Bader Center from 5 to 11:30 p.m., with tickets available for $175 each or $325 per pair. On Sunday, the Kingston Community Brain Tumor Walk takes place at Breakwater Park. Registration starts at 10 a.m. and the walk kicks off at 11. Or check out the Brock Street Block Party, running from 12 to 4 p.m. with street shopping, games, live music, and a roaming bar between King and Wellington. And Sunday evening, Alina Ballerina's Summer Gala hits the Kingston Grand Theater at 5:30 p.m. with performances in jazz, tap, ballet, and more. Tickets are just over $39 for adults and $33 for youth. Got a community event you'd like us to share? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know. Hi folks, it's CFRC's Ellie Sturton, and coming up are some great live music events you can check out around town this week. On Wednesday, it's Wings and Tunes at the Covan with Sean McCullough and friends from 5 to 8 p.m. Grab some wings and join the open mic and maybe win a prize. Blues fans can catch Jeff Dunn live at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. But if you're up for something louder, Tumble's Lost in Light tour hits Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. with Montreal guests Mooch. Tickets are $15 to $20. On Thursday, grab your guitar for Country Open Mic with Clem Chesterfield at the RCHA from 7 to 10 p.m. with a $5 cover. Or head to the Cove Inn to see the award-winning country blues legend Morgan Davis play a special solo set from 5 to 8 p.m. with a $15 cover at the door. Check out Who's Here, live at Grace United Church in Gananoque from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Tickets range from $20 to $25 and raise funds for the church's efforts. The Thousand Island Country Fest kicks off on Thursday at Happy Green Acres Forest Campground with Abby Stewart at 7 p.m. and Lemon Cash at 9. Tickets are $39 per day or $99 for the full weekend. On Friday, the Sittin' Ducks bring classic rock and country to the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m., $5 for non-members. The Thousand Island Country Fest continues with Paige Rutledge, Dean James, and John Norrand on the bill. At 7:30 p.m., award-winning organist Nathan Avakian performs at Kingston Korean Church. Just call ahead to reserve tickets. And the Grit and Grind Fest launches on the mansion's patio at 5 p.m. with a full lineup of heavy music. Tickets are just $30 in advance. Folks can also catch Purple Diamonds at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 6 to 8 p.m. and fast forward to Friday playing at Wharf and Feather from 6 to 9 p.m. On Saturday, the Spectators play the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. with a $5 cover for non-members. And the Thousand Islands Country Fest wraps up with music all day at Happy Green Acres featuring Lucas Oak, Mackenzie Leigh Meyer, and David Boyd Janes, closing it out at 9 p.m. Over at the Hotel Wolf Island, Bryce Clifford and Brother Briscoe play from 6 to 9 p.m. And at Spearhead Brewery, Mauricio Montesinos performs Latin guitar from 2 to 5 p.m. Stick around at Spearhead Brewery for a fundraiser from 7 to 10 p.m. supporting Kingston's Rosewell rehearsal space. It features the Killdeers, Clem Chesterfield, and the Bon Evans Band. That one is $15 or pay what you can. And on Sunday, Gerald McGrath brings indie rock to Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m. And at Time Out Bar and Bistro, Landon Martin and John McClurg perform from 3 to 6 p.m. Got a local concert or music event you want us to share on air? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.